So what should we listen for on Wednesday, March 8th as CBS broadcasts the 48th Annual Grammy Awards? Well, David Brown is music critic for Entertainment Weekly, and he is here to let us know his picks in the major categories and also explain once and for all what those categories really mean. For instance, what is the difference between Song of the Year and Record of the Year?
Record of the Year is for the sound of the record. It's given, the award is given to the producers, so it's all about the production, the arranging, and so forth of it, as opposed to the song, which is the actual melody that you can hopefully hum in the shower. It's an interesting category, the record of the year, which is pitting Mariah Carey's We Belong Together versus the Gorillaz' Feel Good Incorporated versus Green Day's Boulevard of Broken Dreams, which is from a 1994 album, and Gwen Stefani's Hollaback Girl and Gold Digger by Kanye West, which are all interesting sounding records in very different ways. And I personally would love to see the Gorillaz' Feel Good Incorporated, which features De La Soul. I think it's the song probably a lot of people know from that, one of those iPod ads.
Right.
It's a really kind of springy, funky, kind of dance hip-hop track that has a lot going on in it.
Santa's breaking down on a camel's back. They just have to go because they don't know where. So all your favorite streets is appealing to see. You won't get out the county because you're damn damn free. You got a new horizon, it's ephemeral style. A melancholy town where we never smile. And all I wanna hear is the message beep. My dreams, they gotta kiss me because I don't get sleep, no.
As opposed to who will win, I think it's going to be an interesting year for the Grammys. I could be completely wrong, but I'm not sure we're going to be seeing a sweep mm-hmm. like we've seen in the past. If they're smart, and that's a lot to ask, I know, I think they will spread the awards around. At least I'd like to think that. And I'd like to think that this one, they'll give it to Kanye West for Gold Digger.
She take my money when I'm in need. Yes, it's a trifling friend indeed. Oh, she's a gold digger. Way over time. That digs on me.
Which would be sort of my number two pick also, personally. That's the one with Jamie Foxx on it as well. And it's kind of an interesting kind of almost techno sound to that record, as well as these soul vocals. And that's sort of my sense, that they'll kind of give this to Kanye. He's a producer as well as an artist, so.
Absolutely. So he wins on both sides of producing the record
right.
here. Now, I guess really the record, the only rock record in that Record of the Year category would be the Green Day.
Right.
And are we still seeing what's happening? Is rock music still on the decline?
Well, I think rock has become increasingly marginal in the Grammys, even though it's had an uptick. And but it's really interesting when you look at all these nominees this year overall. I think one of the things that comes up is what the Grammy voters see as rock.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you ask the average person on the street, well, you know, what's a mainstream rock band? They're going to, I would think of, they'll rattle off names like the Foo Fighters or the White Stripes or the Strokes and so forth. And yet, if you look at the Grammys, for example, Best Solo Rock Vocal, you've got Eric Clapton, Robert Plant, Bruce Springsteen, and Neil Young versus relative newcomer Rob Thomas of Matchbox 20. And then if you look under alternative album, there is where you'll find The White Stripes, Franz Ferdinand, Arcade Fire, Beck, and Death Cab for Cutie. And I think they're still stuck in some odd time warp where, I guess, to be rock, really rock, you have to be over 55. And I think that's really hurting the rock as an overall genre in terms of the big nominations. There was an interesting period of time in the mid to late 90s when people like Beck and Radiohead and so forth and the White Stripes were nominated for the big Album of the Year categories. That seems to be over. And I think if you... They seem to be looking at rock and alternative and using these old labels that don't really apply anymore.
David Brown, I would agree with you. And sort of this that speaks to the conservatism of the Grammys.
Mm-hmm.
And you
mm-hmm.
see that a bit, I think, in the Album of the Year nominations. Why don't you run those down?
Absolutely. Album of the year, you've got Mariah Carey for Emancipation of Mimi against Paul McCartney's pretty respectable comeback album, Chaos and Creation in the Backyard, versus Gwen Stefani's collection of very well done fake retro music, Love Angel, Music Baby, versus U2's How to Dismantle an Atomic Bomb, versus Kanye West's Late Registration. And there's a lot of talk that U2 will take this because the Grammy voters may be older and maybe a little more raucous in a strange way. I have a feeling, as much as I hate to say this, that, I think the Grammy voters also love comebacks and they love ballads and they are conservative, as you say. And I have a feeling they might give this to Mariah Carey.
Really?
Which has been a big comeback record for her. And they might want to throw something her way. You know, she and all of her people, like Ellie Reed, all these big industry people who are behind her.
I came to have a party, open off the Bacardi, feeling so hot tamale. Boy, I know you're watching me, so what's it gonna be?
Yeah.
Purple taking me higher, I'm lifted and I like it. Boy, you got me inspired, baby, come and get it if you really feel the need.
And there is a lot of industry support for her. It boggles my mind, frankly, because I think she's still making pretty lightweight records. But I think it could be tight between that and U2. I personally would love to see Kanye West win in that category. And he has an outside chance of that. I think that's the most diverse and sort of wide-ranging and just sort of adventurous of all these records. I don't think the U2 record is their greatest. It has some good songs on it, but I don't think it really was a moment. I think it was a moment for them on the concert trail and for marketing. You know, they had their own iPod when this album came out and things like that, but I don't think it was necessarily a big artistic high watermark for them.
I'm making a little observation looking here at the list in front of me that it takes more producers to make an album than it ever did in the past. Every single one of these nominations, just about, except for the Paul McCartney album, mm-hmm. has multiple producers working on them, even U2.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm curious as to, I have no idea why that happens.
A lot of that started in maybe the late 80s, early 90s or so, with the diversification of radio, when you suddenly had all these different radio formats, and the idea of having an album that just had one consistent sound was seen as a liability, because you might only appeal to one segment of the marketplace. And whereas if you have a lot of different producers, you can get a different range, a wider range of songs and tracks that could, you know, maybe be on adult contemporary or hot adult contemporary or top 40 or modern rock or vintage rock, you know, and so forth. And I think that had something to do with it. Also, you know, I think records are big money propositions, and there's, you know, they bring in a lot of people to cook the tracks as much as possible.
Moving on to the Song of the Year category, where we have sort of a split between multiple songwriters and individuals mm-hmm. writing. Who's up mm-hmm. for this year?
We've got Rascal Flatts is for their country power ballad "Bless the Broken Road," versus Bruce Springsteen for his latest rewrite of Nebraska material, "Devils and Dust." We've got John Legend, the sort of retro soul man, for Ordinary People. We've got U2 for Sometimes You Can't Make It on Your Own. And finally, Mariah Carey for We Belong Together, which has 9 songwriters. interesting.
Part of that's because of the sample, I think, right?
Right, yeah. right. I have a feeling that this will go to U2 for Sometimes You Can't Make It on Your Own, if only because it's about Bono's father who passed away a short while ago. And Bono has been telling everybody it's about his father. And so I think there's I think Grammy voters might click into that and that sort of sentimentality of it.
Tough. You think you've got the stuff. You're telling me and anyone your heart. to put up a fight. You don't have to always be right. Let me take some of the punches for you tonight.
It's a good song. I don't think it's groundbreaking. I think we've heard this song from them before in other forms in the past. But, you know, the competition is actually pretty sparse. I personally would like to see the John Legend Ordinary People song win. I think it's a nice traditional old school soul ballad, mostly just voice and piano. It has it's most sort of structurally sound of all these songs.
Girl, I'm in love with you, but this ain't the honeymoon. Past the infatuation phase, right in the thick of love. At times we get sick of love. It seems like we argue every day. I know I misbehaved, and you've made your mistakes, and we both still got room left to grow. And though love sometimes hurts, I still put you first, and we'll make this thing work. But I think we should take it slow. We're just ordinary people.
We're talking with David Brown about the Grammy Awards, and one of the categories which has served the people who win it well and poorly over the years is the best new artist category. Sometimes mm-hmm. there are real laughers in there, with Shelby Lynn winning after she was putting out her fifth album or something. But
nice.
This year, you're going to have to tell me who some of these people are. I'm sorry.
Okay. We've got Ciara, who's an R&B diva, versus Fall Out Boy, who are a sort of emo, metal, power punk band, sort of Children of Green Day kind of thing. Versus Keane, who are the latest sort of Coldplay knockoffs to come out of England. Versus John Legend, who we've talked about, sort of protege of Kanye West, singer, songwriter, pianist. Versus Sugarland, who are a country pop trio. And this one seems pretty clear that it's going to be John Legend, who is such a Grammy kind of guy. You know, he's a guy who sings his own songs, writes songs, plays piano. He's the male Alicia Keys, essentially. And he just smacks of like respectability and credibility and an industry guy. And Grammys generally tend to love those kind of people. The others might be a little too young, young skewing for Grammy voters to know who they are. I kind of would like to see Keane win, actually. I think the singer in that band is really very good, and we've heard so many Coldplay knockoff bands over the last few years, and I think they've been the best, and they wrote some really powerful, emotional songs, which actually leads to another point, though, which is another theme of this year's Grammys is who is missing from this, and Coldplay is an interesting one. Here was a band that put out an album that was supposed to be, you know, the monster album of all time. They were going to be the new U2. My magazine even said that on the cover. And they've been pretty much relegated to just two nominations in the rock category. They're not in any of the major categories. In fact, U2, who they supposedly replaced, are actually up for more of the bigger awards than Coldplay are. So it's an interesting kind of snub, industry snub of a band that seems to be going through a real serious kind of backlash.
How long before I get in? Before it starts, before I begin? How long before you decide? Or before I know what it feels like? Where to? Where do I go? If you never try, then you'll never know. How long do I have to climb up on the side?
We're talking with David Brown about the Grammy Awards, and I'm going to ask you to talk about another category because it's kind of it's sort of our World Cafe category, which is the
polka.
Polka, you bet. you betcha. It's the contemporary folk category. So, I want to talk about these records because some of them, it's funny, Devils and Dust, Bruce Springsteen is up for album as well as Best Contemporary Folk Album. Also in here would be the Chavez Ravine from Ry Cooder, The Outsider from Rodney Crowell, Nickel Creek's Why Should the Fire Die, and Fair and Square, the latest John Prine album. These are all very different albums that probably could have gone into some different categories even.
Right. It's almost like they should have this category should be renamed like Best AAA Radio Album or something, or Best Album for Grown-Ups Who Are Tired of Listening to Raucous Rock Bands. It is a really interesting list, that Ry Cooder concept album about this particular neighborhood in L.A. and that Nickel Creek record of almost depressed emo bluegrass was really kind of cool. And it's kind of hard to say. I have a feeling they'll probably give it to Springsteen. They usually tend to go with the biggest names. I think Dylan won this a couple of years ago. What's your pick?
I was thinking that the Bruce was going to win myself, and I thought perhaps Nickel Creek might sneak in there. But I have no idea. And then once again, you go with names that maybe people in the Grammys know, and it's Ry Cooder's album. It may not make it onto the telecast, but we will be waiting with bated breath to see what wins in that one. I have a question for you, David. Do you think that maybe in terms of relevance that awards like the Mercury Prize and the Shortlist have come to usurp the Grammys for true music fans?
I think they have. Those awards are a little more adventurous. They're a little more on the cutting edge or just more aware of what's happening out there. They're not pop, you know. So I think it's different from the Grammys. Grammys wants that big mainstream sweep, whereas I think Shortlist and Mercury and whatever has now replaced the Shortlist as a new one, the Pantheon Awards, I think it's called. Some of the people who have won those awards over the years might not be recognized by the Grammys until they put out their fifth or sixth record, you know, if they're lucky. I think if music fans really want to know what's going on, they're definitely better off looking at the list of nominees for all those awards as opposed to the Grammys and checking out some of that music.
David Brown, music critic for Entertainment Weekly, talking about the 48th Annual Grammy Awards Show.